Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of The Tap. I'm your host, author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin DeFrancisco. What do we got on tap for today, Andrew?
Today, we're going to be covering AEW, Rampage, and Dynamite. We were thinking of also covering SmackDown because they did go slightly head-to-head. But we're going to mostly focus on Rampage and Dynamite this week. They both had good shows. Rampage, yeah. This was probably Rampage's best performance overall, going in, like, for since they came out.
I would say with the YouTube,
did you see
you see the YouTube part?
Okay. I saw the YouTube.
Okay, because yeah. I was going to tell you that I thought that that was better than
it was.
I thought it was better than the actual television like show Rampage.
I kind of feel like that they should have almost put
Brian Suzuki on Rampage itself
with the exception of the last half hour. With the exception of Men of the Year, Inner Circle, I feel like everything that was for Rampage should have been on the pre-show, and the pre-show should have been on Rampage.
Yeah, exactly. Like the definitely that stuff.
I mean, Ty Conti's match. That one could have stayed on the pre-show. It didn't really matter because honestly, Ty Conti's,
it was okay though.
It was a good match, but it's, I don't know. Ty Conti's over.
I feel like they should be pushing her like in more than just like. I feel like she has these, they always put her in these short little squash matches. They always have all the women all over, Elevation and Dark. And like, it's like, you have good women. Like you have women that you've been slowly building over 2 years that have been getting over despite the fact that they're not even on TV most of the time. So I don't know.
Here was my thing was when Ty Conti had that, big undefeated streak going, and then she ended up losing to Shida in the title match, which inevitably put Britt Baker in the number one position. At that point, I was already kind of feeling like Ty Conti should have been the one to have dethroned Shida at that point. Yeah. But I mean, seeing how everything kind of transitioned and worked from there, with Britt Baker taking the title, I was like, all right, I'm good with Britt Baker taking the title instead.
Ty Conti could be a good TBS champion. That's somebody else I'd like to throw in the ring. Cause she's just fresh. Like she's like, I don't know. And she's very likable. Like, especially with like the whole gimmick that she had with like -1, whenever -1 is there, a -1 accompanies her to the ring, and then
he hasn't been doing that lately.
Well, because he hasn't been there every week. Like he's the kid; he's got school and stuff. School started, so he's not there every week.
I know it sucks.
It does because he's
kind of like -1 being there, man.
Yeah, he's great. Whenever he gets to be there, it really does add a little bit of extra.
Yeah,
especially to her character as well. And like Anna Jay is also vying for the women's championship right now,
which we were gonna cover when we got Dynamite. But yeah, I mean we can kind of cross between the two shows because honestly, there is some crossover between the two.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, Anna Jay ends up, she's obviously going for the AEW Women's Championship at this point. She had the conversation with Brett.
Yeah, exactly. Tony Schiavone interview kind of that they just kind of ended up beating each other up, which it is cool. Like, obviously, we all are still like Britt Baker should have this championship until further notice, until somebody else.
Well, I mean, because literally, here's the thing is their division, they have a wealth of female talent,
but they all feel second tier.
Like, yeah,
I feel that, like
that's part of the problem. Britt Baker was the one that really evolved the most into the face of the company, like the top, she could easily be the top heel or top baby face in the company.
Yeah,
easily she can go either way. It's the same thing with Adam Cole. I mean, Adam Cole's been there for a short amount of time, but he could easily become the top babyface, the top heel of the company. Yeah,
exactly.
You could see that they're actually playing this whole thing off with their relationship involved in it too, because you had Britt get involved with Anna Jay's promo, her interview, and basically calling the Dark Order losers who had just lost to the Super Click, Adam Cole and the Young Bucks, which we're going to get into that match in just a little bit. And then saying, you know, because you're associated with them, that makes you a loser. And it's just like, dude, you have like now Dark Order and Anna Jay, and now you have Super Click, or, you know, even like the Super Elite and Britt Baker.
Yeah.
Like it's like two massive factions that no matter how you look at it, like there's incredible amount of talent that are going to put on amazing matches.
Yeah, this is kind of cool because now their storylines are kind of leaking over slightly.
Yeah.
And Adam Cole, I want to say it was Chris Van Fleet or Rene Paquette, but he's had interviews with both of them recently. But one of them said that he is very open to that. That him and Britt have talked about it, that they would be happy to do a storyline together.
It'd be stupid not to.
Some people don't like to do that. And, you know, like, I don't know. Some people just don't want to mix their gimmicks.
You don't mix business and pleasure is the phrase that you're really kind of looking for in that. And yeah, I get that. But I mean, they're both super over in the company. Why not capitalize on that? It would fit so well.
And it also be cool if somehow out of this, if Britt and Adam could end up turning babyface out of this, because if there is a reason for him to leave, you know, the Elite,
it wouldn't happen until sometime next year. I know
how AEW does it. They slow burn it, you know, but it'd be nice just to sow in the seeds, you know, because they're not even technically in the same. It's not even like they've interacted or anything or mentioned anything of this yet. So I mean, in the actual storyline, like she hasn't mentioned Adam Cole actually at all. Yeah,
she hasn't mentioned Adam Cole at all.
He only mentioned her when it came to Tony Schiavone.
There was two incidents. So yes, the one that Adam Cole mentioned with in regards to Tony Schiavone, and then you had when Ruby Riott wound up going and casting that amazing promo on Britt Baker.
But that still doesn't count.
It doesn't count in your opinion, but I mean that's still. That's still AEW acknowledging it.
AEW is acknowledging it. I mean, Britt and Adam Cole have not acknowledged. They're not in a storyline together yet.
No, not yet.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it hasn't started. Is my point that I was trying to make that they're gonna slow burn this.
They will
for a long time. Yeah, probably sometime mid next year in like the summer.
I would say late next year.
I don't know. I feel like Adam Cole is going to end up leaving the Elite before it's been a full year. I think he's going to end up leaving. He'll end up rejoining eventually, but it'll be, I think,
it's all going to be dependent on this storyline with Kenny and Adam Page over the world title. I think that's going to be very dependent on that, because I don't know how long they're going to really drag that feud out after Full Gear. Cause obviously at this point, Adam Page has to be the one who ends up walking away as champion.
Yeah.
I know.
I was just going to ask you, what do you think of that?
Like, he has to, cause they've already announced now that it's going to be Adam Page versus Kenny Omega at Full Gear.
He had a good promo on Dynamite as well.
The promo was him talking about cowboy shit and like what cowboy shit means to him. Was definitely a great promo, but it would make no sense for him to lose to Kenny Omega at this point, because that would be the third match in a row that they have against each other in a one-on-one situation where they would lose. Technically, yeah. It would be the fourth time. I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure. So.
No. Maybe I was right. Maybe it was three because I think I was counting the tag match as one of them.
Yeah.
But I mean, it would make no sense for Adam Page to lose this opportunity.
We've been waiting for this for so long. I feel like it would have been paid off at All Out had he not, you know, left. Like and, had he not been gone for the weeks prior.
And did I not call that too? That
yeah,
he was going to wrestle for the title at Full Gear.
Yeah, and you also called that he was going to be the Joker too for the match.
I know my stuff, man.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, let's get into the rest of the show. The buy-in, I mean, like I said before, I think honestly, Bobby Fish versus Lee Moriarty or Moriarty Lee, whatever the heck his name is.
Lee Moriarty. Never get
it. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. It was a good match. Yeah, I know. It was a good match. And it could have been Rampage worthy. It definitely could have been.
Yeah, it was a pretty good match. I mean, I just don't get, I don't know who Lee Moriarty is. I've heard his name before.
He's been on there a few times.
Yeah. I was like, what's the gimmick? I was like, what's the thing with the mask in the beginning and his weird music that I don't enjoy
that I don't know.
Wish would go away.
But then you had
Fish, very underrated.
Oh, absolutely. And I've said that for a long time. Now we get into what was supposed to be the main event match for the buy-in, which was the match that everybody looked forward to, which was Bryan Danielson taking on Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah,
which is sweet. Dude, I'm not joking. Like, I flat out thought he knocked out Bryan Danielson in that initial exchange. Like, when he said he was going to, like, hit Bryan, he chopped him, and then Bryan did the kick, and then he, like, Minoru wound up hitting the forearm. He connected, and like you just saw Bryan Danielson drop. And I was like, dude, did he just knock him out?
Yeah,
within the first 2 minutes of the match.
So these guys, no pun intended, did not pull any punches.
No, this whole match was legit.
Yeah, these were legit shots. The ones to the head were. You know, sometimes they get a little excited, you know, but they were legit strikes to the head. They were, you know, tried to pull him back on the strikes to the head, but all the strikes to the body were all legit strikes. Like you could see the marks, the welts, you could hear the sound, and it wasn't just no leg slapping. There was real sounds.
I would pay thuds. I would pay someone all these like jerk offs who sit there and they go, oh, wrestling's fake. I would pay $1,000 or I would cash in like $10,000 and be like, here's 10 grand. Get in the ring with either Bryan Danielson or Minoru Suzuki. Have a 2 minute match with them
while they put you in a hold.
Yeah. Or they do a strike.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I guarantee you, you're not going to stand and you're going to be knocked out. Tell me then that wrestling's fake. You know?
Yeah, Minoru Suzuki used to legit fight. Like, he used to do legit martial arts. Like, he's fought a lot of, like, the old school greats. Like, I believe he fought Dan Severin in a legitimate fight.
He fought Shamrock, too.
Yeah, Shamrock as well. Yeah, so that's crazy. Like, he's not somebody to mess with. And if you've seen Bryan Danielson on his kicks that he does, he planted his feet and, like, stepped into them. Like, he was, like almost like somebody, how you'd swing a baseball bat and you'd step into it. Mm-hmm. He just stepped into the kicks.
Oh, they're very precise. I mean, like, you could feel the pain behind the hits, but at the same time, like, you could tell that they were trying to still protect each other a little bit.
Yeah, they were doing it correctly. They were showing that it's possible to make wrestling as real as possible and still not seriously injure each other.
And then, and not to like really get too far off topic, but because we're covering both Rampage and Dynamite at the same time.
Yeah.
Then you move into the next night and Brian Danielson. Brian Danielson then took on Bobby Fish in the main event of Dynamite. And it was another hard hitting match.
This was a great technical match. I didn't realize it till they both got in the ring that they were like, they have like similar styles. And I was like, they just look similar body types in general. Like, and they're very like strike, like slash submission type style wrestlers. Like,
how sick would it be? Just hear me out on this one. How sick do you think it would be if Brian Danielson and Bobby Fish joined as a team, and if they joined as a team to go against Adam Cole and the Super Elite?
That would be a thing.
Sick. How sick would that be?
No, it's possible. I thought of them being a team immediately because of how similar they just are. Like, I just feel like they would fit as like a natural team. Bobby Fish is more of a tag team guy anyway, even though he's showing right now that he can definitely be a good singles wrestler.
Absolutely. But think of it this way, because I'm pretty sure that
Adam Cole and Bobby Fish history. Well, Brian Danielson already feuding with the Elite.
Right from the beginning. But Adam Cole even wound up having an interview, and they asked like about like Bobby Fish and everything, and he flat out said, he goes, "Oh well, you know, last I saw Bobby Fish, you know, he was pretty upset with me after, you know, our whole breakup in Undisputed and blah blah blah." And he's just like, you know, we left, you know, on not so great terms. And, you know, maybe one day he could prove that he's worthy enough to be in the Elite. And it just kind of like clicked into me when you were saying like how similar Brian Danielson and Bobby Fish's styles are and everything. And I'm like, Kyle O'Reilly is still under contract. He's going to be in, you know, in WWE and NXT still for a while. So there's no way they're going to end up bringing, you know, Red Dragon into AEW yet. But what if you ended up having like a different version now with the American Dragon and Bobby Fish teaming up and them coming at Adam Cole and the Elite, especially against Young Bucks also? Dude, how
I didn't even think of that American Dragon team, the American Dragon thing too. They could definitely form some sort of dragon type team.
Exactly.
It already, like, the piece is already there. AEW, do something with it.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, they need to get like Tony Khan or somebody else, like, who with like some power there to like listen to our podcast, because we just keep coming up with these like weird and awesome like ideas, and it's
these
just like
that would be cool. But they keep surprising us though every time. I'm not even gonna lie.
That's the thing, is like AEW is on fire. And they've only been around for 2 years. They're still on fire. They've actually, I saw an interview with Tony Khan. Well, not saw, but I read the interview with Tony Khan. And basically WWE was just like, oh yeah, you know, like Ted Turner is a much smarter businessman, much smarter person than Tony Khan is. And, you know, look where WCW was, blah, 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 blah. And Tony Khan flat out sat there and he goes, Ted Turner may be smarter than me. I don't know his IQ. Like, he could be smarter than me, but he doesn't know 1% of what I know when it comes to the wrestling business.
Yeah.
And he had his hand in too many things that he was not occupied whatsoever with WCW.
Yeah, it's not like he wrote the shows for WCW.
No.
You know, also, Ted Turner was like the same age that Vince McMahon is currently now. He was an old man. He beat an old man, Vince. Now you're an old man, and you're going to get beat.
But But Tony Khan has also studied the wrestling industry.
Yes. And he's also much younger, too. When he's the age that Ted Turner was, imagine how smart he'll be then.
Exactly. All right. Let's get back on track. And we'll cover now the actual Rampage show. Because we haven't even touched that part yet. We just did the pre-show with the buy-in.
Well, we also covered some of Dynamite already.
A little bit. Now, here's my other thing. So they started Rampage off with CM Punk versus Matt Sydal. And I had issues with this match.
He wore the undies. He didn't wear the pants.
No. I had a couple issues with this. So this was supposed to be directly going against SmackDown during this time.
Yeah.
And realistically, Bryan Danielson and Minoru Suzuki should have been the match that started off Rampage.
I understand why they put CM Punk on, but at this point, CM Punk needs to turn heel for me. At this point, I'm tired of them having to open up their shows.
Well,
even when he's just commentating with a 5-minute CM Punk entrance of him going around the entire crowd and slapping all their hands and stuff.
That's part of it for me.
Yeah.
Another part of this was this is supposed to be the match that goes up against SmackDown. And literally, you start Rampage, and Matt Sydal is already in the ring. There's no entrance music. He has no entrance.
Yeah.
He's already in the ring and gets just announced as like an afterthought.
Yeah.
Then you actually have this match go. And I'm expecting, like, hey, this is a Matt Sydal match. You know, I'm expecting this to end up being a very fast pace, at least quicker pace than what CM Punk's been doing.
Yeah.
I'm expecting these not necessarily like needing to have insane moves, but something to make you say, wow, this is a great CM Punk match, or wow, this is a great, you know, Punk and Sydal match. Something that stood out, especially when you're going directly against your competition. And this match for me, it was a decent match, but it was way too slow and way too like technical.
I feel like all Punk's matches have been like that, though.
It has been, but when you're going up against, literally, you're going up against Sasha versus Becky.
Yeah.
And they're stealing the show for SmackDown. They stole the show. That match was the best match that SmackDown put out.
Yeah.
Even over Finn Balor and Sami Zayn. Even over the Usos versus Street Profits
we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, we're not getting into them, but
I just wanted to say we should have thought about Saudi Arabia and that Sami Zayn doesn't go to Saudi Arabia, so he couldn't have been in the finals.
Yeah, well, we'll get into all that tomorrow, but when you're literally seeing those kinds of matches and you're, hold on one sec. But yeah, I mean, basically, it's like you have the best match whatsoever that SmackDown is putting out. And you're putting on this very slow paced one-on-one match. And especially when you have Tony Khan running his mouth that he's looking forward to beating the competition during this time frame. I don't know the numbers specifically for that. But it wasn't, I can guarantee you, SmackDown won during that half hour.
SmackDown had more viewers overall from like the rough estimates
they said that the final numbers should be out today, which both shows should have higher numbers, but we'll see what
they beat them. Hey, you're missing the point. They beat them head to head on the whole hour of their pre-show because it's on YouTube. They have over a million views on it now because YouTube, you know, you could sit there and it's over time views, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, even still though, that was smart of them to do because the record will show when you go to look up this AEW show and you want to go on YouTube and see the thing, it'll say that it's got millions of views on it, and you'll be like, wow, you know, yeah.
Going on with Rampage, you had Ruby Riot, or Ruby Soho, I should say, sorry, getting the win over the Bunny. And then after the match, Penelope Ford comes out, attacks Ruby, and then knocks her out with the Nux. Obviously, you're having this now as a feud between those two, especially because now on Dynamite, then you had Penelope Ford getting the win. I forget who it was, actually. Let me see.
Kiera Hogan.
Yes, Kiera Hogan. And then right after the match, you had Ruby Soho come out and attack, Penelope Ford at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. It was okay. Does anyone else see it already, how this feud ends, which is the way that Penelope and the Bunny set up to hit somebody with the brass knucks? Does anybody just see that, like, Ruby Soho probably, or in some feud down the line, is going to duck the punch and one of them is going to knock the other one out with the brass knucks?
Probably.
It's just, I saw it on Rampage. I was like, oh, it'd be so cool if Ruby just ducks right here.
And oh, it would have been.
It just knocks her out. So I just feel like it's just so right there that's I feel like that's how the feud's going to end, because it's just weird the way that they set up for it every time is that one of them has to hold the other one. Yeah, so exactly.
And then we finally get to the end of Rampage, and it's Men of the Year and Junior Dos Santos getting the win over Jericho, Hager, and Sammy from the Inner Circle, which I thought it was actually a good match. I actually thought that this was worthy of being the main event. I was very much into it, and then it brought it back to the full, no pun intended, full circle of everything in the Inner Circle reuniting. I mean, you had Jericho getting laid out. You have Top Team and Men of the Year, you know, basically hovering over Jericho. Paige Van Zandt sitting there with her, you know, like doing the selfies and all this kind of stuff over Jericho, which was kind of funny when you get into the Dynamite aspect, which we'll cover in just a second. And then out comes Santana and Ortiz, runs off Top Team and and Men of the Year. See, which was great.
I don't understand. This was the thing that I wouldn't have even put on the pre-show, because it had Junior Dos Santos in it doing one move and just some strikes. And I thought that the match I could have just done without it. I think Paige Van Zandt could have been deleted from my memory and I would have been fine with that.
But I like that she was there.
I wasn't
there.
Interested in the feud until, I just wanted to say, the thing that was good about it was Santana and Ortiz coming out to finally rejoin the Inner Circle, because they were technically still a part of it, but they hadn't been seen in any promos or anything with them for months now. And it's been great that now the Inner Circle is now in full force for what is going to be some sort of full 10-man match. Yeah. Well,
and this is going to bring me to what happened on Dynamite in just a second, but it still goes back to my issue with it all.
Yeah.
Which I brought up a couple weeks back, which is, okay, great. Now you've reformed the Inner Circle, but literally you had a show where all of them were on at the exact same time. They were all had their own matches and stuff, but none of them came out to help Jericho and Hager when they were getting beat up. Jericho and Hager had to come out and save Sammy.
Yeah.
Santana and Ortiz didn't come out until after Jericho, Hager, and Sammy were all laid out, and literally Top Team sitting there taking pictures and mocking Jericho.
Yeah, like
that's my issue with it. Like that to me is a problem. first off, when you had all of them there on the one show, I understand you have your own things going on and stuff like that, but I would have liked to have seen them try to help out or do something, you know, be like, you know what, top team is trying to invade AEW type of situation. Let's round up like some people to like go and run them off. At the very least, they could have done that. They didn't do it.
Yeah.
Then you had it where Sammy, you know, is getting laid out. It's Sammy and Bobby Fish got laid out. Jericho and Hager come out to try to make the save and everything. Okay, that's fine. Now you're building up this a trios match. They get taken out. Now finally Santana and Ortiz come out and to help out. And I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But now we're gearing up for a 10-man tag. But before we can get to a 10-man tag, they're planning on now having this be reliant on the TNT title.
Yeah. I don't know. The TNT title was kind of, first of all, they've been after Jericho this whole time. The whole entire feud has been based upon the fact of some weird obsession of Dan Lambert having to like go after Jericho and the Men of the Year wanting to attack like Jericho to get
noticed. Well, it's because Jericho came out.
And then it's
out.
Turned in to the same thing that happened in Impact with Dan Lambert.
Yep.
This is how it started. It was just Dan Lambert. And then he was like, yeah, let me bring in 15 of my guys from American Top Team. And then it just becomes all about American Top Team versus whoever else they are like against.
I think that they're trying to use it to bring an MMA presence to get like those types of viewers who are into MMA.
That's a problem that Impact had. They always tried to go the MMA route with stuff,
which isn't smart.
And it would never pay off.
Well, WWE was the first one to start going that route when they brought in Shamrock and Severn.
Yeah, but actually, I'd like to argue that at least they were better overall. Like,
because they focused it on, they focused it in directly on Shamrock, and then when they brought Severn in, there was a focus between Shamrock and Severn. They didn't try to bring in a whole bunch of people. Like, honestly, when it comes to this whole process, if they trained up Junior Dos Santos, like actually trained him up like really well.
Yeah.
Or you brought in Andre Arlovsky.
Yeah.
Or what's the guy who keeps on using the running knee strike on Jericho?
I do this all the time. I know who he is. There's like five guys that have weird names.
Whatever the guy
Jorge
is.
Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah. Jesus. Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah.
Or even Austin, you know, and Paige. Like, if you actually train them up and not having to do this major situation, like major infiltration of the top team people into it, and you focused in on like one or two specific people, like, honestly, I'd be okay with Austin and Paige Van Zandt coming into AEW if they wanted to train up and actually like compete on a normal basis and focus in on them. Same thing when it came to Arlovsky or anything like that. If you want to focus in on them, make sure that they are trained well enough first, I'm okay with it. But just to bring them in for the star power and, you know, from the MMA world and trying to do this, that's where you're kind of just losing it at the moment. And I understand that that's why they're probably putting them together with the Inner Circle to kind of balance things out, because you're going to have Men of the Year, Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, they're going to be the ones carrying the match for that side of the team against like Sammy and Jericho and Santana and Ortiz, you know?
Yeah.
Now they're bringing in the TNT title into it because they want Ethan Page and or Scorpio Sky to challenge for the title first.
Yeah, which like, I don't know, it's kind of stupid. It's like, make up your mind. What do you guys want? What are you guys doing? I don't understand. just tell us what you want. Like, stop changing it every week. Like, does Dan Lambert want to cry about millennials, or does he want to bring in American Top Team, or do Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky want to fight over who's going to win a singles championship? What is the thing? Or do they just don't like Chris Jericho? What's the thing? We don't get it. I don't know.
I don't know. But I did find Jericho's comments against Paige Van Zandt really funny, though, on Dynamite.
Yeah.
About her having an obsession with Jericho and wanting to slide into his DMs.
Yeah.
And, what filter do you use on your selfies? Bitch mode. I loved it, man. Like, Jericho will still always remain the GOAT when it comes to, like, just shredding somebody on the microphone.
Yeah.
Like, he will always be the GOAT. I'm sorry, because The Rock is great. The Rock can shred people on the microphone too, yeah. But The Rock always had writers. I feel like Jericho doesn't really use the writers as much. And I know with AEW, they don't even have writers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jericho comes up with that all on his own, and it's so organic. It's great. It was very funny. I enjoyed that.
Let's move on to, something else. Going back to what we were saying actually a little earlier, the Super Click getting the win over Dark Order. This was actually my favorite match.
Yeah, Silver, Reynolds and Uno versus the Bucks and Adam Cole. It was this was a really good match. This was my favorite match of the night, for sure. And you know what's funny? I'm pretty sure every single match except for the Penelope Ford Kiera Hogan match all got a "This is awesome" chant.
Yeah.
Every match of the night got a "This is awesome" chant.
I mean, they had great matches in there.
No, they did. No. I'm saying that they deserved them.
Oh, yeah.
That it's great. I thought, this one was my favorite. John Silver, the one point where he's like outside the ring and he like knocks them all down.
So his human bowling ball thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And just some of the how fast they were going, like
they move
like this whole match.
They move at lightning speed, and then I like first off, I have to call attention to how the Super Click usually does the Adam Cole with the camel clutch, and then they run back and forth. And then this time when they run the ropes the second time, Silver and Reynolds take out the Young Bucks. They pull them out of the ring, and then they go into the ring and do the kiss on Adam Cole's cheeks. And his expression when he realized it's not the Young Bucks was great. I was loving that. And then I have to call attention to the other, my other favorite in this match, which was Evil Uno keeps on catching their super kicks. And so when it came to Adam Cole,
I love this. He's been doing this for a long time.
He's been doing it now for a while with people, but he did the correct way, the way he usually does, where he gives Adam Cole's foot, gives it to the referee, and then hits the neck breaker. But then you had the one where Nick Jackson goes to hit the super kick and Evil Uno ends up grabbing his foot, and the first time he ends up with the shoe.
He tries
to deck him with the shoe and he misses, and it just keeps going, and then finally he catches the foot again, and then this time when it's pulled away, he has the sock. So then he takes out Matt Jackson and kicks away Nick Jackson, and then all of a sudden you see him put the sock on his hand, hits the mandible claw, and you just hear everyone erupt so much.
I didn't even see. I had to watch back. Like, I saw that the shoe was blatant, him taking the shoe off, but the sock I had to watch back because he took it off and I didn't notice it was off until he pulled it out, like, and like shook it, like he like let it droop, like out, like when you're like shaking out a bag or something, you know. And then I saw it, and the crowd did too, because the crowd didn't notice when he took it off either. Like, the live crowd, most of them didn't notice until he pulled it out like that. And then I had to go back and watch that he had it off the second time he grabbed Nick Jackson's foot after the shoe one. He held it again, and he grabbed it as Matt Jackson pulls Nick Jackson away, and then he had it balled up, and then they did a little, they did another spot in the corner, and then he pulls it out. So it was really funny. It was really funny to see. It was just awesome. And it was Nick Jackson's own sock used against him. Amazing.
Yeah, I loved it. And you know, I was sad to see the Dark Order have to lose again to Superclick.
It was just a different iteration though, so it doesn't matter.
It is, but it's just I keep seeing Reynolds and Silver always being part of the tag team in these matches, and I'm just like, I hate seeing them lose time and time again. Like, I want to start seeing Dark Order come up with something big. I was actually originally waiting for Evil Uno to just go and turn on them, but thankfully he didn't. And I was loving the match though. Like, the match itself was great. I loved it. It had so many high points into it, and it wasn't needing like these like top rope moves to like make it incredible. Like, I hate it when it comes to like Jim Cornette making comments about like, you know, it's like choreographed dancing, but in the ring. But I'm like, the choreographed moves that they do for these are so intricate and
choreographed
amazing.
Implies that they sit there and practice them for weeks at a time with the person beforehand.
Right.
And they tell them it as it's happening. And they just
pretty much, I think like maybe they're in that day. They're like, okay, we're going to do this.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. Like, cause I've seen interviews with the Young Bucks where they say, yeah, like when the Lucha Brothers first came in to AEW, we had to like when they first started, like they would show up on a plane and get there sometimes 10 minutes before our match, and we just have to call it all in the ring. And he's like, sometimes, you know, that's all you get is like 5 minutes to talk to someone. Sometimes people are busy throughout the day. Sometimes you can't get a hold of them. Sometimes you got to call most of it in the rings. But yeah, they all do it the day of. It's not like they're texting each other the week before going, hey, we're going to have this match. You want to meet up at a dance studio and go through the moves? You know, like, I hate Jim Cornette sometimes.
I do too, but I mean, sometimes he's right on the money when it comes to things, and sometimes he's not. But but then after the match, you had Jungle Boy come out and go after the Superclick. He gets thrown from the ring. He comes back in with a chair. They all scatter, and that leaves Brandon Cutler to get the brunt of everything, get caught in the snare trap. And this is all because of what happened then earlier in the night, where Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus were cutting a promo backstage, and Super Elite, you know, for the most part, it was Super Elite. They attack and put Luchasaurus through a table, forcing Jungle Boy to watch. So it doesn't look like that this feud between Adam Cole and Jungle Boy Jack Perry is over by any means anytime soon.
Nope. And they had to do a powerbomb again, you know, because they botched the one powerbomb, if anybody knows, from Dynamite or Rampage. I forget when they last faced each other, but where Kenny Omega botched the powerbomb and he fell over holding Luchasaurus. Also, I like when Kenny Omega comes out to interrupt the promo. He's like, they must really be desperate if they're giving you guys promo time. Yep. I thought that was really funny.
Other notable moments, honestly, Malakai Black versus Dante Martin.
Yep,
hell also of a way to start the show.
Also got a "This is awesome" chant in the beginning.
It's well deserved, mind you.
Yeah. Too. Dante Martin, man, like I feel bad for his brother Darius because. You know,
his brother, because Dante is the one who's shining right now, and
yeah, and they can both do stuff like that too. Like that's what's messed up is that his brother is arguably just as good, but he's going to be known as the star from now on, Dante.
He's going to be the breakout star, and Darius is going to be playing catch up when he eventually comes back. But now, right, because of everything, you have Leo Rush kind of stepping in to be his tag team partner. I guess just to kind of, I don't know.
This is all, no, this is all like some sort of thing where Lio Rush is going to be using Dante as a way to push himself. And yeah, that's like the storyline. So he like begrudgingly accepts to be his partner because he's like, oh, I guess Matt Sydal's not my partner anymore, I guess. So yeah, and then I think his brother's eventually going to come back and he's either going to manage the both of them or they're going to realize that he's a dick and yeah, then it's going to be over.
I'm not really big on the Lio. I'm not big on Lio Rush period.
No, me either, really. But
I'm interested to see where it goes, but I'm not really a big fan. I feel like it's like another. I feel like it's another version of like Matt Hardy.
The match was great. Yeah, it literally is. I think of that every time. So the match was great though, and he even. You know, you get a few false finishes where you thought Malakai Black was just going to win easily and he didn't. And then gave him like the nod of respect before he left, that he actually respected that, you know, the fight that he put up, which was cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and the ending between them was great. The one thing I will also say, I love how Dante Martin sells the Black Mask kit.
Yeah,
when he takes those kicks, because he took one last week on Dynamite and he took it on this time, and both times, like, he looks like he got cold cock, bro. Like, knocked out on his feet, like, boom. And he sells it like he legit got hit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it does look like he gets knocked straight up. He's a good seller, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
It helps him being such a young and sprightly babyface as well, because he just looks like he can definitely sell getting beat up, let's just say that.
Absolutely. Last two items when it comes to Dynamite. First off, you had Lucha Brothers, who's supposed to be defending the AAA tag team titles, against a masked tag team of Andrade's choice, who come out to the ring as Las Ranas or the Frogs. It just reminds me of like the Conquistadors from WWE.
I was just gonna say,
I was like, dude, why? Yeah, I was like, why? Why are we doing this, like, this dumb gimmick? And it ends up being FTR. We all knew it was going to be FTR under those masks based on their wrestling style. They even called it through commentary. And then you find out that it is them.
Yeah, and CM Punk just straight up says when the match starts.
Yeah, he did.
Guys, that's FTR, you guys know, right? And Shivani was like, really? And he's like, come on, Shivani, you're going to tell me that you don't know that's FTR under there?
It was better for the commentary. The match itself was good. Yeah. It wasn't a great match. It was a good match. Wasn't one of my favorites from either team, to be to be 100%. It was probably, I don't know. I don't even think I would put it in my top 10 of either of their performances.
Yeah, also the fact that they did have the, so FTR end up winning at some point, like halfway through the match. It wasn't very long.
It wasn't a long match, but it was because Tully Blanchard came out to the ring and literally he gets in the ring and the referee has their back turned. And who is it? I can never remember. I think it's Wheeler. No, Dax. It's Dax Harwood.
Yeah.
Dax Harwood is the the one.
And Dax Harwood is the bald one.
Yeah. And he just levels him with the belt, which, not for nothing.
He's doing a moonsault though, which
doing a moonsault, which was interesting. Yeah. But it's the belt itself looks like it's made of the same material that the toy belts get made with. And I'm just that looked like it was just like, it looked like a mosquito.
I don't know. I argue that looks like a real gold bar.
I don't know on that one.
I don't know what a gold bar, I've never seen one in person, but I mean, I don't know. But I think it looks better. That it doesn't look like the copper pennies or like the silver dollar tag team championships.
It just, I don't know. The AAA titles just don't really.
No, I know. But I, at first, what was really funny is at first, I guess I just missed when they said that it was for the AAA tag titles. So I was like, really? They're going to have, why would they have FTR just take the titles off the Lucha Brothers like so quickly? And then I was like, oh, it's the AAA titles. Okay. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I forget what they wound up calling it. It's,
yeah. They whatever. Have like a they're different the AAA name. Tag titles. In America, basically. They're the AAA tag titles.
but this leads to now in the back, basically MJF wanting his money from Andrade, because apparently Andrade had paid to go and use FTR to I guess to deliver a point.
Yeah, this was like a weird little promo that was. It was funny though. MJF was kind of funny in it. It was weird that they were just like in a stairwell, which was a weird place to do the promo in general. Yeah. And then MJF just comes out of nowhere and is like, oh yeah, congratulations guys on your match. We did it, guys. And then he's like, yeah, so
where's my money?
Yeah, where's my money?
Where's my money, man? Where's my money?
And then he was basically like, oh, do you want cash or check? And he's like, both. And he just had it. And yeah. He just had both of them already. Like that makes no sense.
It
and
didn't, he gives but it was
a hug.
Funny.
Yeah, and then he gives him a hug, though, which is really funny. And then Andrade is like, yeah, like smiles at him. And then when he's leaving, he looks at him like, what? Like, yeah. Like, don't touch me ever again.
And this then brings me to the final point for me anyway during Dynamite, which was the MJF promo.
Yeah.
Where he comes out and basically says, Darby's not here for our match, blah, blah, blah. And you hear Shivani and JR on commentary. Well, that's because you wound up taking him out last week. You and the Pinnacle took him out. And he couldn't compete and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, we all know this already. Like, just you're like, it'd be one thing if you were actually arguing with him in the ring, but like, you're arguing with him, you're on commentary, he's in the ring on the microphone, he can't hear you obviously, and I'd rather hear MJF.
He can't hear JR over his three chins slapping together. That was one of his insults to the crowd. He couldn't.
But I'm like, honestly, I'd rather hear MJF's promo.
Yeah.
And hear the commentary on this one.
But they have to do that. That's their job.
No, I understand.
I get it's annoying. Yeah, I get that too. Because
it took
like,
away
yeah.
from the promo.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And then he starts doing, he has Wardlow bring out a referee and force him to make a count to declare MJF the winner. And right as he gets to 9, the lights go out.
And yeah, I knew this.
Here comes Sting.
Yeah,
and Sting just comes out, knocks Wardlow, well, takes him out with one bat shot to the gut after MJF shoves him forward, and then MJF runs, and Sting even drops the belt, the bat, and is just like, come on, bring it to the ring, like, let's go. And so obviously you're going to be building now towards another Sting Darby Allin tag team match, this time against MJF and Wardlow.
Yep.
And honestly, I would much rather see Sting versus MJF. I don't want a tag team match.
Yeah.
I feel like this is not, maybe it's not, it's not doing.
Maybe that beatdown of Darby is a way to have a singles Sting match. But I don't know yet. I just think that this might be the feud where Wardlow turns on MJF.
It'd be great.
So that's what I think. He might leave him in the ring, and then it'll lead to them like him calling out Wardlow on Dynamite, the next Dynamite or Rampage.
I don't think it's gonna be. No, I don't think MJF is gonna call out Wardlow. I think Wardlow.
No. I mean, he's gonna turn on him, where he's gonna leave him in the ring to take the pin. And yes, he is going to do this because this is the way all heels like him have done this since the beginning of time. They go, come out here, because they think they're in charge of that guy because they've been bossing them around for so long. And then they come out and then they get scared and they shut up when the guy gets in their face. And then, you know, he's going to attack him from behind after he sneakily sneaks out of the ring. That's the way it's going to happen.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be MJF who turns on Wardlow, be completely honest. I think it's going to end up being where it's going to be one too many times where he shoves Wardlow in front, and you're going to end up just seeing Wardlow like turn around, lay out MJF.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see something like that.
I guess. Either way, I think that this would be a good feud to turn him on, because they've already been teasing it for a while, and it'd be good to do it in a match where he actually is in a tag team with him, where he has to defend him and decides that he's tired of taking the punches for him.
Very possible. All right. That is the show for today. I'm done. And honestly, it was a great, it was really good shows for both, and
wasn't their best, but it wasn't their worst either.
No, it definitely wasn't.
They have a good standard. It's not like I'm saying that it was like, you know, a bad show or anything like that. It's just they have a great standard of shows. So this was a good show for them.
Yeah.
A good week of wrestling for them. It wasn't their best week, but it was
honestly
a good show.
And honestly, for the fact that you had Rampage going up against SmackDown for the first half hour, you had AEW Dynamite being on a completely different night, being on a Saturday instead of it being on its normal Wednesday. I think that they both wound up showing pretty good overall. But we'll have to go and tell you more about SmackDown when we cover Raw and SmackDown, and I guess the preview for Crown Jewel pay-per-view tomorrow.
Boo.
Yeah,
we're not covering Crown Jewel, are we? We shouldn't have to. It's not in America.
I mean, technically, yes.
Yeah, we'll briefly cover it. We'll see how much there is to actually cover.
Yeah, we'll talk about that one. All right. Yep. Until next time, I'm author Andrew Hess.
And I'm Justin D. Francisco. And join us tomorrow and find out what's on tap.